Hello there.
Hi.
Hello.
It's been a little while.
Has it? Yeah, a couple of weeks. You were not in a good way last Tuesday, and I was balls deep in a massage. I shouldn't say balls deep. I was having a massage and completely blank.
Special kind of massage.
It was not a happy ending.
Oh.
No, it was a good massage. A fair bit.
It was a happy ending, but not that kind of
wasn't
happy
that happy,
ending.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I'm glad you had a nice massage. I was in a mess. My head. Yeah. I mean, it's not really. I'm not going to bore everybody with the details of my migraine, but seems to be.
You were on blob banging
the No, I wasn't. It's in. I am getting them when I am post-period. In the low, like that, where your estrogen maybe starts coming back up, is all I can think is that it's that it, like some kind of not balanced estrogen and progesterone that's causing me to have these really.
Was it new?
Sporadically over the last year, but I'm not on my own because I got so many messages from people, and thank you very much if you sent me a really nice message through Instagram or whatever to say, oh my God, hope you're okay, and I get these because it's horrible. If I find some kind of solution to it, guys, I'll definitely share it with you because they are really, like, oppressive is the word I would use. But sometimes not so bad. Sometimes, you know, I can handle it. Other times, it threw me off this time because I felt really sick and, like, queasy through the night and then in the morning, and then it kind of just gradually built up into this, like, migraine.
Horrible.
Which it's not done before. It's normally like I get the headache with a bit of sickness and then the migraine builds.
Horrible.
Yes, it was back to front, but I've lived to tell the tale, guys.
Well done, Lindsay. So glad that you're still with us.
Well, do you know what, actually,
touch and go for a second.
It made me feel the back end of last week really grateful that I didn't feel like that anymore. So I feel like the back end of last week, I don't know whether also the sun and the light and the getting up at 5:30 and it's not pitch black. Like, it's
makes such
getting
a difference.
Life. Oh my God, it's so, I can't even express. Like, the girls came out of school yesterday and they were both so giddy. And I said, oh, did you enjoy the sun today? And Emily was like, oh my God, it's made me so happy that it was really sunny today. And I was like, yes, it does. Like,
it makes such a difference. Everybody's mood is so much better. Energy is up.
Yeah.
People are like, let's go walking. I don't care where. I'm going to just get naked and skinny dip.
Yeah,
and
let's walk forever.
Yeah.
It's good. It's berserk. Yeah. So anyway.
Cool. So today we are talking about how to navigate comments when they're made about appearance or, well, not to make this the world's shortest podcast ever, but just don't. And thanks for listening, guys. I mean, right before we came on here, we were talking about the kind of the messages that had come through and navigating it, responding. And I was like, it kind of bugs me that we're here teaching women how to respond to comments made from men or women, rather than we need to be teaching to not make the comments. Like, if we can get to a place where comments just aren't made, then we don't need to worry about how we handle them when they are made. That would be a nice place to get to. But we're not there.
No, we're not. So, yeah, I think before we start, really.
Before.
Is to say that, yeah, if you have friends who are possibly, you know, trying to change their lifestyle factors and improve their health by possibly not drinking alcohol anymore, for example, or maybe they do want some fat loss, is, I think it's so hard because if you, it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because if you've got a friend and you know that they've felt really crap about themselves and then they do start to lose some body fat and they obviously start feeling good about themselves, you almost think it's a good thing to, like, go in with a, like, compliment in inverted commas of like going, oh my God, you look great, like you're trying, and it comes from a really good place. So I think there is nuance with this, isn't there? Like, as you said before we came on, like, it depends who the comments are coming from. And
so distracted by that cat eyeballing the shit out of me. He just comes back and forth. Sorry, carry on.
There's a cat outside Lauren's window, which you can't see, but Lauren's just got really distracted.
I'm so
by it.
I am listening. It
does kind of depend who the comments are coming from and whether you feel that they are well intentioned or not. as to then how do you want to respond.
Yeah, I think if you're the one making the comments, I just wouldn't until that person maybe comes to you with it. Like, you can compliment somebody on, I saw you on Lindsay's story, looks like you're lifting loads of weight. I saw you doing handstand walks, that's incredible. Well done you for hitting the gym 4 times this week. You can compliment on so many other things. It isn't on how somebody looks. And if they then bring up, and I've also lost body fat, which I feel really good about, then you can go, that's awesome too. Like, maybe wait for that. If you're not sure, then don't make the body comment. Like, you don't know how it will ever land with a person. And more often than not, people usually say, or they feel, oh, so did I not look good before? Does that mean they didn't think I looked good before? Or that means they judged what I looked like before, and now they're judging what I look like now, and they've made the conclusion that I look better now, even though I want to look better, quote unquote, now, but I still feel weird about the compliment. And it's a bit of a mindfuck. So it kind of does just make it easier on everybody to not make a body comment unless the person trying to change their body says something about it.
Mm.
Feels the easiest way to navigate that, and find so many other things to compliment your friends on.
Yeah, completely. What, so say if you were going to give someone a compliment, so obviously we can't help as humans, and because of the past and the patriarchy, right?
Yeah.
You might assume that somebody would be really flattered by you saying that they've lost weight, for example, right? But that person might be struggling and actually might have been ill. Mm-hmm. And so they've lost weight because they've not been able to eat for weeks, or they might have had a bereavement, or do you know what I mean? Like, you never ever know what's going on in somebody's life. So I think firstly, like, Lauren is so right, like, let's try and not make compliments and comments on people's body, and let's try and give, I suppose, flattery and positivity in other ways. So what would your sort of top, say you were working with somebody, what would your top words of, like, encouragement be, or like positive reinforcement of seeing somebody trying to make changes to their life, and knowing that that will benefit them, you know, to have some, like, encouragement and positive reinforcement?
Depends on the person, what their goals are. So, like, if somebody's goal is they want to build strength and muscle, it would be complimenting them on that and being like, you know, you're smashing the weights this week. It kind of, again, is it coming from the context of me as their coach or like one of my friends? Because I generally,
I suppose both. Like, what would you, what sort of, as a coach, like, what are your messages of, like, encouragement?
Consistency is always one that I compliment on, and will always say, like, you've been so consistent with your actions. Like, that is a huge one for me, is just the consistency. Yeah. Then it can get down to, like, the specifics of their training. Like, you've just hit a 5K PB, that's looking great. Or you've knocked a minute off your 5K or your 10K. Or them being brave or finding courage in joining a Hyrox or signing up for a marathon or climbing Scafell. Or, like, something pushing their comfort zones and out of their pushing the boundaries and out of their comfort zone, or something like that. Like, I know that was a real challenge for you, so, like, well done on that. Just finding anything other than what they look like. It could be non-physical related, like, if they are they have their own business or something, it's like, you're a bad bitch. Like, I just, like, raise up that bad bitch energy.
Yeah, love that. And what about your friends?
Same thing with my friends. And, like, I think I kind of wait for them to talk about what it is that's going on, and then I'll just feed off the back of that. But even though I'm a PT and a coach and all of that, when it comes to my friendship group, I don't talk about anything like that. We don't talk about nutrition, we don't talk about training. Actually, none of my closest core group of friends, like, really train or lift weights. It's not something we discuss, so it's not something I'm, like, needing to comment on their body for, and I never would either. Like, I think because I'm a coach as well, it'd be even more like, I just don't go there. I just don't comment on it. I'm like, it's just not necessary. We talk about other things, like they've got a job promotion or a new job, or they quit a job that was, you know, treating them like shit, and it's like commending them on more on their, like, courage and actions, and yeah, other than their latest body that they're temporarily living in.
Yeah. So I put out a few question boxes earlier, so I just wanted to sort of touch on what I had put out there. sort of the questions that I asked, which one was, have you had people comment on your weight? And there was a resounding yes. And like, even if it's not being asked for, someone said, I can tell you countless times people have commented or tried to advise or help me as to how to lose weight, or how to change my body, and do I want to be coached? Yeah, many times, yes. One said, yeah, always when my bum's too big, tap tap, like disapproving. And then the next, if I lose any weight, grabbing my wrist saying I'm too small, hashtag can't win. And then another one saying, yes, when actually I haven't changed at all. I think sometimes, I mean, don't know what your experience is, but sometimes I think if you haven't seen somebody for a while, they automatically feel like they've got to say something.
Yeah.
Like, and again, that they think that that's a positive thing to say. The go-to in society
is,
oh my God, you look amazing. Have you lost weight?
Yeah. Even without even knowing, it's like the go-to. It's like the default. And that's what we're getting at, is the default in society is to compliment somebody on what they look like. And what we really need to move away from is validating people on their looks, because people are not fucking just training just because of how they look. And we're trying to move to this place of, let's train for health and do things for health and whatever else. If you have like an aesthetic goal, fine, fair enough, but not everybody does, and not everybody wants their bodies to be talked about. And we've been brought up in this society where it's like that external validation is important, and that male gaze does matter, and looking good for certain people to fit in and to be respected and all of those other things. It's like back in the 90s, like that's kind of what we are still trying to undo, is those kind of thoughts and beliefs. And like with my older clients, it's really ingrained, and with my younger clients, it's not. And there's like a drastic difference. So like I had this conversation with clients last week about how to respond when people comment on your weight and da-da-da-da-da. And I'll go into what some of the people said, but then my client who is 60 was like really honest and said, she's lost 10 kilos. And she was like, I kind of was looking for the compliment still. I did want that validation still. Like, is it wrong for me to still want that? I'm like, it's not wrong. That's completely normal and makes so much sense that you would want that validation still, because we've been brought up to want that, to believe that our worth is tied up in our body size. A talk I went to at the weekend was really good about worth and understanding that your worth is non-negotiable. Like, it does not decrease. It's not for debate. Your worth just is.
Mm-hmm.
And for so long I tied my worth to my body size and like to my business, and so it was like the smaller I was, the more my worth was, and the bigger I was or the more body fat I had, the less my worth was. And a lot of people still have that worth tied, and it took a lot of work to get to a point where I was like, no, my worth is what it is. It's not dependent on my size. It doesn't matter how small I get or how big I get or how muscly I get, my worth is still my worth. And I think it's trying to help people get to that point, so no matter what their body size and shape is doing, their worth is still there, and they don't need that external validation or approval of their body is fitting the norm and ticking the boxes that it should be.
Yeah, and I think that's why it is so important, really, to be working on relationship with body image and relationship with food ahead of any kind of, you know, fat loss or aesthetic goal, going in for bikini competing or anything like that. You know, there's I think sometimes you have a why that you start with. I was discussing this with a couple of clients this morning, actually, and one of them said, like, even if somebody, or I tried to make it about strength, that would still be problematic for me, because I want to be the best. So if then I'm not the best at strength training, then that's I still find that really problematic. So it's like, you know, she's had to give herself another sort of reason, and she was like, my truest reason in the first place was, like a lot of women, if they're really honest, it was that they start doing it because they want to change the way their body looks or they want to lose weight. But that has progressed along the way, which, you know, is something that we've been working on for a really long time. And everybody takes a different amount of time, don't they, mm-hmm. to get to sort of like having a deeper, like, why are you doing what you're doing? And I think it can change, you know, and that's fine. When I first was, when I first started going to the gym, when I was like 17, it was to sort of support my dance training and be stronger and, you know, have like strong legs so I could leap higher and like, you know, do the things that I was trying to do on stage, I suppose. But I can't say that it wasn't also because I wanted to look and feel good in my clothes, like mm-hmm. when I was going on holiday.
Yeah.
Because it was always the narrative of, oh, well, you're going on holiday, so you've got to get your bikini body. It's like, well, now we go, well, what is a bikini body? Like, mm-hmm. you put a bikini on your body, that's it. But that wasn't what we were led to believe as, you know, younger women.
Yeah.
And it took me until I think I was in my 30s where, and I've been in the fitness industry for like all of my adult life, to, for myself, go, most of the change has happened to my body since I didn't think about what it was doing to my body. I was thinking about, I want to get better at this skill. I want to be, you know, stronger in this lift. And like, I'm more focused on like, more focused than ever mm-hmm. on like how, like my percentages and the maths of lifting and getting it, you know what I mean? Like enjoying that side of things.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think like if you do, don't feel bad about having an aesthetic goal, because like that's okay if you like can be honest about it and you know why you're doing it. But generally you will find that you can do, you know, multiple, yeah. do it for multiple reasons.
It's just digging that little bit deeper. It's like ask why three times. So I want to lose weight. Why? Ask yourself why again, and then ask yourself why again. And more often than not, it's I want to feel better, or I want to feel more confident, or I want to feel something else.
Mm.
And you can work on those things and feel those things without focusing on changing the shape of your body and weight loss and fat loss. Those things might come as a byproduct of working on the things. But if you really dig into your why and focus on those, say your why is you want to feel confident and you want to have sex with your husband with the lights on, I don't know, then work towards those things and then see how what happens to your body as a byproduct. Like you said, you've let go of that trying to change your body and work on the other things, and as a byproduct your body is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a totally different reframe of like that strict I need to change what I look like and my weight and da 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 to actually I'm moving towards the things that I want to feel like. And but if you want to lose body fat and you want to change your shape for purposes of aesthetics, like what Lindsay's saying, like just know your why, just own it and know your absolute why behind it. We've kind of gone off a bit off topic, but we'll circle back round here.
Again, it is interlinked, isn't it? Because we do work with people who want to make changes, either to their relationship with food, their body fat percentage, their BMI. Maybe, again, they've been told that they need to lose X amount of weight for IVF or for to have an operation, for example. Like that's not uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about it the other week, like you know, you go to the doctor, they say, well, we're not going to do this until you've lost X amount of weight. Well, then how are you going to do that? You need somebody to support you into doing that. Or because you're miserable and you feel like crap and your bones ache and your joints ache and you've got, you know, other issues that are caused by, you know, not exercising, feeling, you know, more mental health issues again, and just carrying around maybe more load than your skeleton is prepared for. There's a lot of reasons why, and it can also be that, you know, you're in doing it for multiple reasons at the same time. So we know it's a really tricky conversation, because some people will be like wanting to like have those compliments when they are working hard towards improving their health or improving their own body image or improving their body fat percentage, that they go, you know, if somebody else notices, then I'm achieving something.
Yeah, it's still like, looking for that external validation. Yeah. And we need to try to not always give it the, even though yes, it can be a compliment or feel like you're giving a compliment or feel like you're receiving one, it just keeps the narrative going that external validation of how we look is important. Mm-hmm. And we really need to move away from that.
I don't even think it's just down to the way that we look. Like I have somebody that I've been working with, and she said, I want to make you proud. And I said, but I want you to make you proud. It's not, doesn't matter what I think at the end of the day, because I don't live in your head and you don't live in mine. You live in yours. Mm. And so you've got to make your own head a nice place to live. And you need to feel good about yourself. Mm-hmm. And I mean, she is, and she's improving all of the time. But, you know, so much of that, like, people pleasing and, like, just doing it for... I want people to do it for themselves, like, and for how they feel and how it affects their life. Like, not because they've come to me because they go, I want to impress this person. Do you know what I mean? I want to make this person feel proud of me, or for her to say, well done, you're smashing it. Like, do it for yourself to say, I'm smashing it. I smashed that workout today. I've improved. Like, I've grown in this last year. Like, last year I would never have gone near a barbell. Now I'm smashing out 75 kilos. You know, do it for you. And then, you know, these comments that people like to just blah out on you become sort of something that you can just have a little laugh to yourself about, or you maybe will feel empowered enough to respond.
This all came about because one of my clients said she was watching the rugby at a bar, and this guy who's like a regular in the same bar was like, bloody hell, you look great, have you lost weight, in front of the whole bar. And she just like froze and did not know what to say and just felt awful, and then got home and was so angry about it. And I think that so many of us have felt that, where on the spot you do not know what to say, and like you do go, you kind of have that, oh my god, I don't know how to respond, I don't know what to say. And then usually what happens is, thanks. And it's really hard to know what to say in the moment. And that's kind of what the point of this podcast is, trying to help with that. And it is going to be, it so depends on the context of where you are, how it's been said, what's been said, what you feel comfortable in saying and how you feel comfortable responding. Because even knowing all of this and having done all of this work and being in the industry and blah, 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 I had somebody like, yeah, oh my God, you've lost those weight, you look amazing. And I just like, what was like... oh, I haven't tried. It's just like, oh shit, I just wasn't expecting it. I kind of thought, do you not follow me on Insta? You're not picking up what I'm putting down here. But anyway, it made me like pause and froze, and it didn't take it as a compliment. I hadn't lost weight. So it was like, it was just one of those, she hadn't seen me for a while, yeah, and thought that would be the go-to thing to say. But when I was talking to people last week about, okay, what would you say? Most of them had no idea and were like, I probably just not want them to feel uncomfortable, so I just feel awkward and uncomfortable and say thanks and move on. One person had said that they were actually mistaken as pregnant when they weren't, so did obviously call them out, because she was like, I had to call them out, I couldn't pretend to have a fake baby for the next 7 months or whatever.
That one always blows my mind.
I know, you just
because
wouldn't,
I just
would you?
Don't know why you would ever
risk saying
make it. An assumption and think, I know, I've had this thought, I'm going to say it.
Yeah, I know.
In that situation.
Yeah.
Because that's not, like... It's just...
You just wouldn't say it, would you?
No, because I'm just like, I cannot get my head around how you would ever think, oh, she looks like she might be pregnant.
Again, just wait for the person to say it. I know, like, wait, if you're not sure, even if you are sure. Like, I can literally look at, like, a 9-month pregnant person about to burst, and I won't say shit, because I'm like... There's no way. I have been with people who've been mistaken to be pregnant, and it's awful. And it's horrible. It's just such an awkward, shameful situation for that person. Mm. They just don't, it's just not nice. And I would never ever say it unless that, and the pregnant person might not want you to make a comment about them being pregnant, being in a bigger body and having a belly and being poked and prodded. So it's just better to not. And it's the same with the weight loss, weight gain thing. Like, you're better off saying nothing than saying something and sticking your foot in it.
Yeah. I've actually, it's reminded me of somebody who actually was pregnant, and I noticed that she felt the need to say, I'm not fat, I'm pregnant. Like, before anybody had said anything. And I thought, that's like, just shows you, doesn't it, like,
yeah,
how we are like, yeah, in anticipation of the judgment of others, or waiting for somebody to make an assumption, or waiting for somebody to make a comment. Yep. That she was like, she said it repeatedly throughout this as like there were different people coming in and out and what have you.
Yes, the fear of, yeah. Oh my God, what if people think I've gained weight? Like, it's the worst fucking thing on earth.
Like you've killed a cat.
Yeah.
Well, you've killed that cat that's on your fence.
People do that all the time, but with anything. So like if they're eating cake, they'll go, oh, I'm going to the gym later anyway. Or it's like people will defend themselves before somebody else gets the chance to make a comment. Or if somebody's just had a baby, they'll be like, oh, I know, I'm doing all the classes to lose my belly fat. Oh, I know, I'm going to bounce back. Or I'm trying to bounce back. Like, you don't need to justify or defend yourself to anyone. I know that's so much easier said than done. And it comes back to the worth thing, the external validation and all of that. And it is hard when we are in a society where it is literally like thrust upon women to be smaller. It is hard to not feel the need to do that. But next time you do it, just kind of call yourself out on it. Like, oh, I've just noticed that I'm justifying myself again, or I'm defending my actions again, or whatever it is, notice when you do it, and the more times you notice it and call yourself out on it and ask yourself, why am I doing that? The less you'll do it, because you'll start realizing you're doing it in this situation or around these people. You'll find there's certain people that you feel you need to justify yourself around more than others, and it's just curious as to like why those people and why that environment do you feel that you need to justify yourself more. And who are the people, I'm just going on a tangent here, who are the people where you literally can just sit and breathe out? Do you know what I mean? Just let your belly hang out and just go and just be who you are. And why is it you can be that with some people, but with other people you're like, I'm eating a minstrel, but I am going to go to the gym tomorrow. Like, interesting to know why you feel the need to be defensive to some people but can be completely relaxed around others.
Yeah, so one of the other questions I asked sort of around the judgment of others is about alcohol. Again, I've been having this conversation with quite a lot of people lately. My husband has started having zero alcohol beer. I think, and he said, like, the more people I talk to, like, the more sort of people I know who are moving away from alcohol. Mm-hmm. And again, people who I'm working with are going, you know, I just don't get the benefit out of it that justifies me actually having it as part of my life now, because it makes me anxious. Not just in terms of like, or, you know, where we do a this or that, say, when you're eating out, and it's one of the things that we'd use to go, like, right, do you feel like you really want a dessert today, or are you going to have some chips, or really fancy chips today, so the dessert is it's not a hell yes. Same with alcohol. So do you really think, I really enjoy a glass of red wine tonight with my meal, I'm not that bothered about dessert. Right, fine. So that's what you're going to do. So they're like, you know, I'm not even that asked about alcohol. I would rather have this. So that's what I'm going to do. Great. But the amount of people who've come to me and said, I'm getting questioned by my friends. They're calling me boring. This is the first answer here. Yep, why are you being boring? Yes, but peer pressure is the hardest thing to deal with. Story of my life. Yes, ! Yes, constantly, and people trying to pressure you into drinking. Yes, 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 people seem offended if you drink less. Why is it that people think it's okay to try and force people to drink alcohol they don't want to?
It's out of their comfort zone, you know. They're not comfortable with it. They need alcohol for whatever they need alcohol for or want to drink, so therefore everybody else around them should also drink. And that's not a you problem. That is a them thing, not a you thing. And if you are set in your values and you know your worth, then stick with your guns, you know. Like, people are gonna do that if they're not comfortable with it. And I when I got back from America and I was miserable as shit, I stopped drinking because I was like, I just feel sad all the time and that's only making me feel worse. And so I did like 9 months where I didn't drink, and at the start I got a lot of, don't be boring, come on, do it, have fun, da, 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 da. And after about like a couple of months of that, they gave up. It was like, okay, she's not going to drink, and just stick with it. Like, if you don't want to drink, you absolutely do not have to or need to, and you don't even need to justify it. If people are like, why, just say, I don't want to. Like, you don't need to justify it. It's annoying, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's one of those things, isn't it? And actually, somebody I worked with quite a while ago had said she had stopped drinking quite a long time ago, and she said it's the only drug, in inverted commas, that the stimulant that people out in the open will encourage you to use.
No, no one's forcing nobody's
forcing you to have even a cigarette. Like, people would go, do you want a cigarette? No thanks, I don't smoke. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
That would be the end of it. Mm. Yeah. Offering you in the toilets to do a line or whatever. If you
my regular Saturday night,
yes, no thanks. They'd go, fine, okay, and they'd tootle off and do it themselves. Fine, you go do what you do, you boo. But alcohol, I'm ordering shots for everyone. Everybody's got to have this. Mm. And if you're the one sat there going, I didn't want to mix my drinks. Mm. Like, I've come out tonight and I decided, I made a plan. I was just going to have three drinks, like three Proseccos, and then go home. Mm. And then somebody's all of a sudden trying to get you to drink Baby Guinness, Palmer. then you're like, oh shit, am I gonna be that person? No, I'm not. It takes such a lot of strength of character, I think. And like you've just said, Lauren, that having that real knowing your purpose of why am I doing this and what do I want for myself and how do I want to feel tomorrow.
Yeah, those people are not going to not be your friends if you don't drink tonight. They will get over it very fast. But what I've found with clients who have then ended up drinking, they feel awful the next day, not only just physically hanging out their ass, but they're like, why have I done that? I didn't even want to do it. And it's like, those friends or whoever you were with are never going to think twice about you, whether you drank that night or didn't, and yet you now feel terrible for it. So remember that when they are like, come on, remember how you're going to feel the next day with it. But the way that you respond to comments like about alcohol or about your body is going to be so dependent on what you feel comfortable in saying. So, and who is it that's saying it? So this is your friends. You might feel comfortable in being like, look, Sally, I'm not having a fucking drink, all right? Leave me alone. Or if it's somebody you don't really know, you might not feel comfortable. You might just fucking, I don't know, pretend to take it, throw it over your shoulder. I'm not sure. The way that you reply to things is going to be so different for each person, what they feel comfortable in saying and doing and all of that. But we've just had a few of these conversations
and one of them I said to her, what do you want to do first and foremost, right? You haven't stopped drinking, but you've really moved away from it. Is this a situation where it's one of your best friends and you want to sit down and you'll really enjoy having a couple of glasses of wine with her, and that it's calm and it's controlled and it's an environment that you feel safe in and comfortable, and that's something that you really, really want to do? Because that's very different to feeling like you're being forced to do it by somebody who you don't actually, again, it's not a hell yes, it's not a situation where you go in, I really want to have a drink. So we went through this, it was, just before the weekend. And unfortunately, I have a few people that I've been working with who their friends actually don't respond well to them saying no. Mm. And so, one of them said, I have been kind of like, they don't invite me to things anymore because I'm the only one who's not doing what they're doing. Mm. But I was like, well, then,
could she ask them, what is it about me not drinking that makes you feel uncomfortable?
Well, I think it's quite clear that the reason it makes them feel uncomfortable is because it makes them question their own actions.
But asking them the question will then make them have to think about what it is, and then they might come to a realisation of what it is.
Yeah. Again, I don't know whether this person is there yet in terms of, confidence to do that. Mm. So, again, it's that situation of, what are you comfortable saying? Have you got, and one of them I'd said to her, just have a little think. Now, I don't want to put words into your mouth, but just have a little think about a few sentences that if, of scenarios of if it comes up, you've decided you're going to have a couple of gin and tonics and then you're done. And I was like, I would have water on your table if you're sitting at home, make sure you've got your water on your table ready so that you can top your glass up with that. And it's not really, it's not even going to get asked about. It's there. If they want to have it with you, then they have it with you. If they are on, a bottle of wine and downing it, in one, and on a mission to get, Friday night smash-o'd, then that's up to them. I was like, you don't let yourself get caught off guard by it, so you're not getting like pushed along or forced into doing something that you know that you're not going to be happy about tomorrow. So one, also think about, how do you want to feel this weekend? What have you got planned to do this weekend? Will you enjoy it less if you have a hangover? Most likely. So, you know, you've got those things firm in your head that that's what you're already going to do, and you've got that in mind. Like, if I was going to go for a run on a Sunday morning, am I going to be having, you know, shots the night before?
Unlikely.
Bad idea.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, if you know you've got something like that planned in, if you know you've got a nice long walk with one of your best friends planned in, you want to enjoy that. You don't want to be like hanging out your ass and feeling like you're going to puke every 5 steps.
So I guess
steps.
It's like justifying why, which is like annoying that you feel you need to justify why, but also in those situations, it can be helpful. You can even make it up. If you feel like you don't have the confidence yet to kind of challenge the people that are doing it, be like, why is it making you so uncomfortable that I'm not drinking? If you don't feel comfortable in saying that, maybe have like a made up thing, like, oh, I'm up at 6, got to take the kids somewhere. I don't know. Like, if that's your easy out and it moves the conversation along. But also, if people are now not going to invite you to things and they're going to be little dicks about you not drinking, like, what kind of friend is that?
Mm-hmm.
That's so sad for that person, and I want to be their friend because I would invite them without drinking.
Yeah, but that's it. And I think there is this transition still of time of, you know, if you've always been like the one in the group maybe that has been like
the party one,
the crazy one, you know, who, you know, always ends up doing something funny, like, you're fitting into that role. And I think there's always an expectation within family groups, within friendship groups, within siblings. I was just talking to somebody about this, of like what other people's expectations of us are as people.
Absolutely.
And actually, you don't want to, you know, be the same person every single day. Nobody is the same person every single day, and we're allowed to have all our moods and all our, like, you know, hormones and whatever else, and stress factors in our lives and things that make us, I don't want to be social Sally. Like,
social Sally. Well, Sally is coming up a lot today.
Yeah,
you're tapping into identity stuff here now, because I can remember having these conversations where, like, that was me. I was the party one. I was always the one that was hammered at college parties.
And then you
doing
feel
something.
Like you've got to be,
I've got
that,
to be
person.
That person. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's like, you know, I spoke to other friends who felt like they weren't the sporty one. So like joining a gym was so uncomfortable for them, or joining in with classes, because they were like never deemed as the sporty one. And that wasn't what they identified as. And so there's this whole thing about identity and who we are and our expectations, again, of what other people think that we are, and moving away from that. Be like, I've been thinking about it recently as a coach as well. And if I was like suddenly to be like, I'm not coaching anymore, instead I'm going to do accounting, which I'm not, I'm definitely not going to do accounting. But if I was, you know, oh God, what would people think about me? And I've got to change my career and I've got to let go. And it's the same thing. It's like, if you've always identified as being this person that does this and put yourself in that box, it's so hard to pull yourself back out of that box.
Mm. Yeah. I think that one of the other things that we discussed was like, you're the same person. Like, if they are your friend, you are the same person, whether you are drinking or not drinking, whether you are on a diet or not on a diet. So why should it make any difference? And if they are good friends, they will generally be supportive, respectful, and understanding of your wishes. So that's like, oh, like one of my things is like, bring it back to like how it makes you feel. So if I were to say to somebody, like, oh, I'm, you know, somebody was trying to force me to drink that, right? I'd be like, well, actually, I don't want to, because it makes me feel really anxious and it really affects my sleep. Who's going to question that? Why would you question that?
Some people might. Some people could be proper dicks and be like,
but if that's how it, if that is your genuine reason why you don't want to, or you're just going, it doesn't really fit in with my goals at the minute. Like, I'm trying to improve my health, like really trying to look after myself as I'm getting older, and I've read a lot about like how alcohol's not really beneficial, so you know, I'm steering away from it at the minute. But you feel free, like,
yeah,
you enjoy yourself, I'll sit, and you know, it's really lovely to see you. Like, you know, you can say no without feeling like you're being a knob about it.
Yeah.
But then it is down, you know, how does that other person react as well?
Which is none of your business. How they react is how they react. You can only control what you can control and say your piece that you feel comfortable with and then move on. And if they can't move on and they're all hung up on it, it says more about them and what their issues are than you.
So the other two, moving away from alcohol, that we had was, and it does come back to, again, people commenting on people's body image. There are actually three, because I'm going to bring in another one, is somebody asking if I've lost weight. I haven't. Saying that I look too skinny, I definitely don't. It annoys me that a man can comment on my weight. I think he thinks it's a compliment, but it really irritates me. And it's a repeated comment. So what would you do in that case, Lauren? What would you recommend?
I get it's so contextual.
Other than giving him the finger.
It'll be ass. It's so contextual. Like, who is the person? What is the environment? How do you feel in responding to that? If it's repetitive, I'd absolutely nip it in the bud. I'd definitely say something, because why should you feel uncomfortable every time you see this person and not them, when it's them that's making the comment?
Yeah, because she's probably anticipating that comment now every time she sees them.
Yeah, that's not, you know. So it kind of depends on what you want. What do you want the outcome to be here? Like, you could use it, if you wanted, as a lesson to teach. You could be like, I actually really don't like talking about size and weight and bodies. I'm trying to move away from that. I'm actually working on my strength instead. I'd appreciate if you don't make that comment again. Or you could literally just say, I really don't appreciate you talking about my body. Or what do you feel comfortable with? And having like a one-liner set in your mind that you can just pull out would be super helpful. And that's kind of what I was trying to do with my group last week, and it was really hard because some people were like, oh my god, I just could never say that, and some people were like, yeah, I don't give a fuck, I'll say whatever. So it really depends. And, you know, are you drunk at a bar? Are you in the middle of a gym? Is there a crowd of people around you? Is it just one-on-one? You could ask to just speak to that person, like, to one side, and just be like, in a friendly tone, just be like, hey, I really don't appreciate comments about my size, do you mind if we talk about something else? And like, don't talk about it again.
Yeah.
It depends on the relationship with the person, like,
yeah,
how honest you can be and how comfortable you feel in what you say. But definitely if it's a repeated thing, I'd be saying something.
Yeah, and if it's making you feel uncomfortable, I would probably by this point be saying, it's really great to see you, like, if it's somebody you like, you know, it's always really nice to see you. I've just noticed the last few times that you've commented on my body weight and it's making me feel a bit uncomfortable. So do you mind, like you've just said, if we just move that conversation away from, like, my body, because it's not a compliment to me, and, like,
I don't,
you know, it's not something that I want to talk about. We know we've got far more interesting things to catch up on.
Yeah, that's a really good way of saying it. Yeah, like, I appreciate that this might be a compliment, like, you might think this is a compliment, but that's not how I'm taking it. And then leave it at that. And then that person, you've not shamed them, you've not had a go at them, there's no yelling. And they will probably just go, oh, right, I didn't realise, sorry. And that'll be that, and it's nipped in the bud. And we always make these things so much harder in our own heads, and we worry about the outcome a lot more than actually what.
Yeah, because it could again, be. You don't want to be seen as a difficult bitch or stroppy. Oh, she's a feisty one. Yes, yeah. I am. Yes, I am.
Could you tone it down? Could be a little less.
That's it. And then, then somebody else who said, you know, that they used to see it as a compliment, but now they're sort of questioning, like, when people do comment, like, it feels like a compliment, but as you said earlier, like, are you then wondering, did I not look good as I was? Like, or were you judging how my body was before? So I think, unfortunately, we have to kind of accept that people are going to say things. And I think it is, you know, I've been in this situation as a coach where people have been talking about each other's bodies, and I try and just not comment. And move the conversation away from the body chat. We're not talking about the physical, you know, we talk about other stuff. Like you said, it's the, you know, your commitment to your goals and your continued turning up and pushing yourself outside of what you would ever have thought that you could do. Like, where were you a year ago? Like, you wouldn't even have, you were saying you wouldn't even dare to step in the gym, and now look at you. You know, it's like, it's those things of, like, making somebody realize, oh God, yeah, I can be really proud of myself for that. And I think if we can lead by example when these comments come in, like either by not responding and being really neutral about it,
mm-hmm.
Especially if it's somebody that you don't know, just coming up and randomly offering you some advice or a comment.
A backhanded compliment.
Yeah, that you kind of just like...
Yeah, if you don't know what to say, if you're like so on the spot, you're like, blah, blah, I literally would just try to make sure not to say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like even if you say nothing and you're not sure, to try not to thank them. If you don't feel thankful and you don't like the way that it's been said or what's been said, really try not to say thank you. Even if that makes there's an awkward silence for a second there, that's okay. Like have the silence. It might make them realize they've said something that perhaps maybe they shouldn't have, but saying thank you will then validate them and that what they've done is right and that was a compliment. Yeah. And then they will then go and say it to somebody else because they'll think they're giving a compliment when they're often not, really.
It's so hard, isn't it? Because you do, I think it just makes you feel awkward. And then you're like, should I say, I don't know what to say. Like, should I say thank you? Should I be flattered? Should I be, you know, you don't even know how to feel about it.
Yeah.
In the first instance. So how, you know, if you don't know how to feel about it in the first place, how can you know how you're going to react when somebody catches you off guard like that?
Yeah.
It's really tricky.
Yeah. It's also tricky, but like, I was just thinking then, like, you might be the person that's been given these compliments and not realising that there's even a problem. And like, we have also been there as well. Like, I definitely used to say things about weight and body size and stuff, like, back in the day. Like, of course we all live in a society in which women losing weight and body fat is meant to be the good thing, and it takes learning and undoing, and when you know better, you can do better. So it's not like there's no judgment here if you have made those comments. It's just now you know, maybe we don't do that anymore.
Well, again, we move the comments away from what somebody, you know, their physical attributes, and more about like their achievements and like
their character.
Yeah, character and personality. And I think that's if you feel like, and also it feels really hard because girl power, like you want to, like we're in this thing of like, let's lift each other up and let's like give each other a boost. And so that feels like the, like a way of doing that for a lot of people, I think. So I think it does come from a good place when it's, I think, more woman to woman.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're trying to give each other a leg up here and, like, and a confidence and a bit of a get behind each other. But let's do it in a way that's more productive and more about, like, our brains than our bodies. Just lastly, one of somebody who has been building muscle, getting stronger all the time, and has been, oh, you don't want to get too bulky. Be careful. Oh, you sure you want to? You're starting to look, oh, I think it looks a bit manly, etc.
Mm. What?
Have you got any thoughts on this, Lauren?
I thought I was waiting for the question.
Well, it is what it is. Like, what? How do you respond to somebody saying, oh...
Have you seen my arms? No one's ever going to call me bulky with these
things. They're bloody massive, those arms.
I would never need to face that problem, I don't think. I've never come up against this. I don't recognise that. But somebody, just before we started this podcast, messaged me saying, oh, there's a good talk over on some channel or something about women and whether they should have muscly bodies or not. I thought, I don't even want to fucking look at that conversation because it shouldn't be a conversation. Mm. Should women have muscly bodies? Fuck off. Women can do whatever they want with their bodies. Muscle or not. Why is that a conversation? Should men have muscly bodies or not?
Because
it is.
Fucking
asking that.
Because it is. And that's one of the things I said. I was like, but does he train? And does he go to the gym and want to like look and feel better and enjoy training? Yes. So why do you not... Like, why are you not allowed to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you not allowed to want to be stronger? Why are you not allowed to want to be able to do a pull-up and mm-hmm. do a, you know, 100 kilo deadlift? Like, why are you not allowed goals?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are. Mm-hmm. So, you know, go, like, do you care about me? Then let me live.
Honey. Let me live.
Let me live. Let me do what I am doing.
I don't know what her last name is. Lucy somebody. She's got that app, I can't remember her name, but she's always resharing the comments that are made on her videos of men saying, you look masculine, you look awful with muscles, you look this. It's almost shocking. I'm like, I cannot believe people still say things like that. But it's just like bot accounts and trolls and just like the pits of the internet. But the way that she reuses them and is just like, fuck you. Like, I love looking like this. And this is a reflection of my hard work and dedication. And everybody gets behind that. And I think we are moving towards a better place. But still, it's just moving away from what we look like all the time. They do loads of videos about red carpet celebs as well, where it's like they'll ask the man about the movie, and then they'll be like, who did your dress? And they're like, now these celebs are now saying, like, why are you asking him these questions? You're asking me about what I look like, or my hairstylist or whatever. Because it's always back to what women look like. And so we just, as women, need to make that push on moving away from what we look like.
Yeah, completely. And also, I think we've sort of said it before we came on, but we've not said it on here, is whatever and however you want to live your life and what makes you feel happy, do that. And don't, like, let what anybody else thinks, says, anybody else's judgment affect your decisions on what is best for you, regardless of what that looks like in your physical body, or what that looks like in how you treat others, or what that looks like in how you look after yourself. Do what is right for you as a person, and fuck everyone else.
Yeah.
Sisters are doing it for themselves.
Why is that not our intro? We need to change our intro, actually, I think. Right, guys, thanks for listening. Love you made it this far. Appreciate you.